Baseball is back.
I want to see some real games.
The season is going to be different.
They've been given a gift with this 60-game schedule.
On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
There's a lot to talk about.
There's a stunning development.
And this is the place to do it.
Tony, he talks, I listen.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome into the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, filling in for Tony Maz tonight. I'm Mark Bertrand. Tim McCone is here. Jimmy Stewart here as well. And the Boston Red Sox are 4-8 on the season. That is where things stand for the Red Sox here on the 7th of August. 4-8 through 12 games are the Red Sox, and it has been a disappointing season on a number of levels. So I'm curious to know, what's your biggest disappointment in the 2020 Red Sox? Yes, that's a very negative question, but you know what? It's been a season that's deserving of that. The Red Sox deserve that sort of critique and that sort of criticism. What's bugged you the most about this team? Is it one specific player in the lineup? Is it the lineup decision-making? Is it the starting rotation, which I may even take out of the conversation because, let's be honest, the starting rotation is putrid. It's brutal on this 2020 Red Sox team. It's bad. Oh, is it bad? And tonight, well, you're going to be treated to Ryan Weber again. Tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. Is there no one better on the face of the earth that the Red Sox could put in the position to be on the mound going forward than Ryan Weber? They've been asked this question. Ron Renicke was asked this question last week, or was it earlier this week? And he said, who's better? Who's better? Who do we have? Who can we throw out there? I don't know if it was a shot at Chaim Bloom or Brian O'Halloran or the front office. I don't know what it was, but I can tell you that that's not reassuring, that this is the best the Red Sox can find. Weber, who's 0-2 with an ERA of 11.57.
Not great.
And he hasn't been able to make it past the fourth inning in any of his starts. Not great. Your lineup tonight for the Red Sox against the Blue Jays, Benintendi leads off in left, followed by Rafael Devers, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts at short, Mitch Moreland at first, Vasquez catching, Verdugo's in right, Bradley Jr. in center, and Peraza at second base. And again, Weber is on the mound tonight, and he has been absolutely atrocious. 7:30 first pitch for the Red Sox and Blue Jays. And, the Red Sox need to get things going soon because with it being such a truncated season and it only being 60 games, believe it or not, they're only a few games out of being in the race.
It's crazy.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Because they've looked so bad, and they're 4-8, and their record stinks, and they've largely stunk on the field. They're technically, not even technically, they're still in it, which is wild. And they will have the opportunity to turn things around, which is even more wild. But let's talk about a couple of things. Two major things I want to get to tonight. And by the way, we'll talk to Jared Carrabas coming up at 6:35 or so. Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports. Few things have happened here in the early going of the season that stand out to me from a lineup perspective. One, Alex Verdugo needs to play every single day. He's not a platoon player. The manager of the team or the people upstairs need to run their numbers and realize that Verdugo can hit lefties, as he has said on multiple occasions now. That is one of my annoyances about the Red Sox lineup. Another one is Andrew Benintendi is turning out not to be the prospect or the player that most of us thought he was. He just may not be that good of a player. He just may not be the kind of player we thought he could grow into being. Because early on this season, he has not had the rebound that we were all hoping for him. He has not shown the ability that he's shown at other points in his career and has failed to do with some level of consistency. This, to me, is one of the bigger disappointments of the early season so far.
You asked for the biggest one. Benintendi's it for me.
It's got to be.
I mean, the top 10 pick, flew through the system, showed flashes, had a bad year last year, and he's hitting 69 right now. I mean, Gronk would love it, but like, nice. That's just, it's unbelievable.
Sweet. All right, here's Andrew Benintendi today talking about some of his early season issues, and as I said a few minutes ago, these are not encouraging quotes. I think this guy is having a full mental break down. I think the problems he's having at the plate have fully taken up the real estate in his brain.
Andrew, how tough has this start to the season been personally, just trying to find your swing?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not ideal. I think everything's amplified right now with the, 60 games and, things like that. So still working. I'm, come to the park every day excited that, maybe it'll click and I'll get things going. So that's where I'm at.
Andrew, just what do you feel is the difference between, I guess, what your summer camp and now and what you're feeling?
I think I'm maybe searching for something or making, changes that don't necessarily need to be made, or maybe I'm overthinking things. We're facing these, pitchers that we've faced before, but haven't faced them since, March or in February. Just kind of getting used to seeing them again. But trying to get back to what I was doing in summer camp for sure.
Is it, you were working on your stride before, and I know it's something that you've kind of honed in on. Where do you feel you are with that? Is that playing into some of your struggles?
My stride?
Yeah, your stride, like your the way you're going into the ball.
Yeah, that's something I've always kind of messed around with. I think just what I'm trying to do is just feel comfortable, like how I just stand up there. The stride takes care of itself, lengthwise and everything like that. But right now I think it's just my hands are dropping. It's not so much my stride, but it's my hands. So just find a way to keep those up and, head down on the baseball.
Okay, so the hands are dropping, not so much the stride. He thinks he's maybe searching for something or making changes that he doesn't necessarily need to make. He admits to overthinking things. This has now crawled into his skull. That's full-blown baseball player mental breakdown right there. And if you watch, if you go back and look at some of his stances at the plate, maybe not the stride, you can see his front foot is all over the place. Like, there are times when he has this big open, he's an open, more open stance, more closed stance. He's trying to do things to get right, and it's not working, and he's going to keep doing things, and he's never going to just sort of settle in and focus on hitting the baseball because now he's thinking way too much. And that's a problem for the Red Sox. You know why it's sort of a big disappointment on its own? But you know why it's also an issue? Because J.D. Martinez isn't very good anymore either. Is that a fair thing to say? Maybe he's just not that good anymore.
He doesn't know what pitch is coming anymore.
Well, you take away the video camera and you take away his iPads, which the Red Sox have done, and this has led to be a real big problem for J.D. Martinez, who's now batting, about 240 on the season?
244, yeah.
244 is what J.D. Martinez is batting. I told you it would have been better if he opted out. I was rooting for him to opt out.
Then you'd still have Mookie Betts, right?
It's a possibility. It's a possibility that Mookie Betts would still be here if J.D. Martinez was not. Maybe that trade with Mookie Betts looks different. I don't know, but I'm telling you, man, you've seen the best of J.D. Martinez. You have. J.D. Martinez is now 32 years old, soon to be 33, turns 33 this month. And now he's getting into the mid-30s, and because of the pandemic and all the rules about distancing and devices and all the cheating that Alex Cora orchestrated over the years, the video cameras, they got to get taken away. Those toys, those in-game toys you had with your iPads, no video for you anymore. It's not allowed. It's off the table. Dan Shaughnessy writes in the Boston Globe, J.D. Martinez, this guy. In case you missed it, J.D. is not his usual slugger self so far this season. He's on pace to finish the Red Sox 60-game slate with a .244 batting average, 0 home runs, and 15 RBI. He has not driven home a run since opening day 2 weeks ago. 13 strikeouts, 4 walks, and an OPS of .720.
Oh, take that, Beetle.
He has an excuse. Dan Shaughnessy writes, I'll take that, Dan.
Because my problem is with you.
Alex Speer writes in the Globe, instead of permitting the sort of in-game video historically available, players' iPads are restricted to video of opposing pitchers that's uploaded before games and remaining offline during games. Away from the park, players can access that video. He goes, A Red Sox slugger won't go into a close game, and we'll get to that in New York. But more importantly, how did Ted Williams bat 344 lifetime without studying his swing path on video for 10 hours a day? Now, Dan Shaughnessy is always going to go back to the Ted Williams era in baseball. How about any other player in the sport? Is every player in the sport doing this? Do all the best players have to have the iPad in order to be able to go up and hit? This was sort of tedious before,
yeah.
But now that it's taken away and it's the excuse for him not being able to hit, oh, how sad. How sad. It, you know what? It wasn't a mental crutch. Or maybe it was. Maybe it was just a crutch. But now that you don't have it, you've been totally exposed as the guy you were before you sort of blew up in baseball, the guy who was almost out of the sport. There's no in-between for him. It's 240 or 340? Like, what is that? Are you kidding me? No in between. No, I either have my video and I'm great, or I have no video and I suck. That's really disappointing on his part, because you know why? The Red Sox this season need to hit their way out of their problems. Ryan Weber, being the third pitcher on this staff, is disgraceful to everybody involved.
Oh, my God, I'd rather stick needles in my eye.
Yes, I would rather stick needles in my eye, Dan Shaughnessy, than watch Ryan Weber pitch another game, which is going to happen tonight against Toronto. We'd all rather stick needles in our eye. I think maybe Ron Renicki would rather stick needles in his eye. But J.D. Martinez, worse than just not hitting, he quit. It sounds like he tapped out last weekend against the New York Yankees. Once upon a time, that would mean something here. And I hope it still does. The details on him tapping out against the Yankees, that's next.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Open phone lines if you want to jump on board and complain about the Red Sox season at this point. 617-779-0985. Talk to Jared Carrabas coming up next segment. I wonder what Jared has to say about his boy, J.D. Martinez.
Tough summer for Jared.
Oh, brutal summer for him. Brutal summer. How about this? J.D. Martinez, last weekend, Sunday night, in the loss to the Yankees, it sounded like he refused to pinch hit. That's the appearance that it has, and I believe it. Manager Ron Renicki spoke about this and talked about it and why J.D. Martinez was not a pinch hitter late in that game. Let's hear a little bit from the manager.
Ron, last night when you guys had two on in the ninth, did you think about J.D. in that spot, especially at Yankee Stadium?
Yes. So he was in the dugout. He had been in the cages trying to get loose. It's a little harder to get J.D. Quickly loose, but we had given him a couple innings before and talked to him about it. He's used to certain routines that he goes through, and he knows different situations when they come up that there may be an opportunity. But Jerry had gone down there a couple innings before and just kind of gave him a heads up to be ready. And I would rather give him a day off, which we did. But if we needed it to win a ball game, we thought we may put him up there.
So you could have used him for Benintendi, but you just didn't want to at that point?
We could have. Again, you know, both of us probably rather would have not him and us. So that's kind of what the decision came to.
Both of us meaning you and Jay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he gets a couple of innings lead time on that is what happened there. I mean, it's a two-run game. J.D. Martinez gets a couple of innings as a heads up that they want to use him as a pinch hitter. The situation arrives where they could use him as a pinch hitter. And he... what? Wasn't ready with the getting loose, certain things he's required to do? What the hell is that?
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it's hard to get him loose. We gave him a couple of innings as a heads up. And that wasn't enough? So ultimately, it was the player who said, I can't do it.
I'm not ready. That's how I read that. That's how I hear that. Am I hearing that wrong? Because that's how it sounds to me. Wow. Okay. So he could have pinch hit and then didn't. I don't get it. I don't get it. Jimmy?
Well, it's easy. He gave up on the season in the same way Benintendi has given up on the season. The general manager is throwing in the towel on the season because look at the pitching staff. Look at the manager. Ed, why even bother? Just forfeit them all.
Dan Shaughnessy wrote, a Red Sox slugger won't go into a close game in New York and everybody's okay with that? No thanks. Look at what we did to Nomar when he pulled that stunt in 2004. JD's home plate paralysis, owed to a loss of video privileges, goes into the pantheon of whopper excusers offered by baseball's players through the years. He chalks it up to being the same as Adrian Gonzalez, the cooler, that they were burdened because they had so many Sunday night games. Remember that? Too many Sunday night games. Chicken and beer, a man's got to eat. That's what he said.
I mean, would you rather JD Martinez just say, no, I'm not interested in pinch hitting, or go up there and look at three pitches from Mariano Rivera like Manny Ramirez once did in a pinch hitting spot?
Oh, God, I remember that one, too. Brutal.
That was it for Manny, though, right? I mean, that was
that pretty much ended him. So I don't get it. I don't understand why it is that this is acceptable, that you give a guy a couple of innings to get ready. You give him a warning. Hey, we want to use you late here for a lousy pinch hit. The guy doesn't play the field when he does play. Like, oh, we'd rather give him the day. You know, it's been so strenuous for him to go up to the plate and not hit the baseball this year that we really wanted to give him that night off. You know, that one at bat would have really hurt him.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Baseball Reporters, Beetle in for Tony Mass tonight. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bring in Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports. Jared! Hi, buddy.
Beetle, how are we doing?
We're doing okay. Baseball team, not so hot. We're doing all right.
Yeah, baseball team's not good, but you know what? That's why we have seven TVs, Beetle. That's why we, when we don't like one screen, we just move on to the next one. We keep it rolling.
I had to sign up for the baseball package to watch other games. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the Dodgers, yeah. Mookie Betts. He's
Donnie O on the West Coast. He's doing a wonderful
That's
job.
That's right. Don Orsillo doing the games for the San Diego Padres. Let's start with this. Last weekend, why did J.D. Martinez tap out on his team?
I don't know if that's a fair assessment to make. Why do you say that, Beetle?
Because he was given multiple innings to get ready to pinch hit and then didn't pinch hit.
I don't necessarily know that that's... I mean, J.D. Martinez is not a pinch hitter. Like, that's a guy... Like,
oh, God, here's the defense already. J.D. Martinez is not a pinch hitter? Wait, is that a classification? You can't be a pinch hitter?
This is not the National League, Beetle. This is a guy that is a professional hitter. He's not a guy that you tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, get ready to go face this pitcher that you haven't prepared for. He is a routine freak. He is a regimented athletic machine, and you can't just be like, hey, by the way, you're up. You can't do that.
They didn't do, oh, by the way, you're up. They gave him at least a couple of innings, according to the manager, Ron Renicky.
They can't even look at tape right now. They can't even look at video.
Oh. How overrated is J.D. Martinez that he can't hit without looking at his iPads?
Beetle, you're going to say J.D. Martinez is overrated?
Well, yeah. I mean, he makes $24 million a year, and now he's batting .244.
Okay, so he had a tough 2 weeks. You're going to negate the last 3 or 4 years where it was like him, Mike Trout, and Miguel Cabrera, and maybe one other person that have had a .300 batting average and a .900 OPS for the last 3 or 4 seasons.
Right, but then
2 weeks.
But you just said without his iPad, it's gone. It's over.
I mean, you know, without steroids, what would Hulk Hogan be?
So the equivalent,
the best promo in pro wrestling
is steroids. This is his version of steroids, is what it is for J.D. Martinez.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's. Like, look at me. I need my analytics platform, or else I can't write good blogs. If you take that away from me, what am I, Beetle? Who am I? Nobody.
But that's a lie. That's not true. Because we've had plenty of great baseball conversations without you referencing any analytics. That's a lie.
Yeah, but I know, because that whole 300, 900 stat that I just threw at you, that's something that I researched using an analytics platform.
Right.
I didn't have it.
But the difference being you could still do the job without your analytics. You could. You've enhanced your performance with the analytics, but when you take away the video, JD Martinez is a guy who can't hit a home run? Is that what he is? Because he hasn't hit one yet.
He hasn't hit one yet.
So this is what we should expect, and it's a fair expectation that he will be a 240 hitter with no home runs this year because they took away his iPad.
No, I don't think so.
All right, so is he going to rebound? Is that in the cards at any point?
I mean, what's your bar? Like, what do you think is the over-under for JD Martinez's batting average and OPS this year?
Okay, it should 290? Be, I was going to say, like, give him 280, 290.
Okay, and then what's the OPS?
Higher than the 720 it is now, I can tell you that.
850, fair?
Nine.
Nine! What a bar! Okay, I'm going to say, yeah, I think that without the iPad, like, JD is probably going to go up there, hit to 292, and maybe have like a 910 OPS. I think he can get there.
Well, I'm just saying, his first year here, he had an OPS over 1,000. Last year was, what, 950-ish? So to say it's got to be to 9, that's still a drop-off. He's still not as good.
I mean, he's, what, 32 years old? I mean, of course there's
going to be 33 this month. 33 this month.
Yeah. All right, so currently 32. I was right. And I think that if you want to say that JD's going to have a little bit of a dip, and by the way, JD Martinez, this guy wants to win. You put him on a team like this, stinks. And I side with the hitters here. I know that, like, when you're a professional, you're supposed to just go out there and do your job.
Yeah.
But how?
They pay you a lot of money to do it when you're him.
For sure. Absolutely. But there's a human element to this, that when you go out there, you look up at the scoreboard in the second inning, and you're like, oh, it's already 7-1, and you're trying to calculate by the time we're in the eighth inning, what are we going to be looking at? So, like, how many runs are we going to have to put up just to have a shot in this game? And then, you know, you have this lineup that have all these great names in it. Bogarts, Devers, Benintendi should be a great name. JD Martinez, all these guys. And it's like, all right, that's a great lineup. Look at that rotation. Like, who are these people? Like, who are these people? So when your team, like, from the top.
Okay, but you're excusing him quitting
based on the team being bad. Hold on. This is a back and forth, Beetle. My turn. When you have
you talk, I talk.
Yeah. You know how this works. This is broadcasting 101. You have Heim Bloom trade the best player on the team, Mookie Betts, in February.
Yeah.
With David Price and Chris Sale goes down, and you look at what they replaced those players with, you're looking up being like, all right, if they're not trying, then where's my motivation at?
Listen, I get that, but you can't quit in the first week of the year. You can't do that. It's not acceptable. You know what? Do you know what the difference is? All right, second week. All right, second week. Okay, yeah, they're only 12 games in. And let me just say this. The guy that has been the professional every single day and has shown up to the ballpark ready to play every single day, and I think at times has truly busted his ass out there, has been Xander Bogaerts. That guy's been a pro through all of this. And even after that tough loss in New York, the Sunday night loss, you know, he bounced back and after that, and I think the writers and people expected him to be sort of down after that when he hit a couple home runs, and he wasn't. And he said, you know what? No, this could be, you know, turning a corner. He sort of was upbeat and maintained a positive attitude. That guy, to me, represents what you want players to be. Xander Bogaerts. J.D. Martinez needs to take a page out of Bogaerts' book. That's what he needs to do.
Why do you think that J.D. has a bad attitude? Like, where did this narrative come from? Like, I know that I've only been back in Boston for, like, 3 months, but is that the narrative that we're going with this year?
I think it's a little bit. I think he sort of hinted
because
at being...
Because of this one at bat where he didn't pinch hit?
No. Hold on. Let me finish. Whoa, Jared. Okay. This is our Broadcasting 101. I would say that he's leaked it out a little bit or hinted to some people that maybe he doesn't love batting second in the lineup, which, by the way, I agree with him on. I can understand that. In fact, I sided with him last week and said, this guy is a creature of habit, and if you're going to get more out of him, I think you and I talked about it. You know, put him in the three spot. That's where he belonged. You and I had that conversation a couple of weeks ago. So
I
agree with him on that. I don't, you know, disagree with his point, but it's a little gripey that early in the season. And then on top of it, this refusal is what I'm calling it, a refusal to pinch hit last Saturday in New York, when with one swing of the bat in a place like Yankee Stadium, where you know they like to play Little League baseball down there, those cheating Yankees like to move the fences in as much as they do. One swing of the bat, J.D. Martinez could have tied the game.
I agree, but I don't necessarily know that it's fair to say that he just quit on his team. I don't think that that's fair. This is a guy that under normal circumstances, if there's like the video replay room or whatever, if you have access to all this footage, he's at the ballpark until like we're basically sleeping. And then when he's done looking at film after the game, he goes home and looks at it some more when he goes home. Like, he is a psychopath when it comes to like his preparation.
Right.
So I am not.
He does it through hard work. He's not naturally talented is what you're saying.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of, I think he is very much naturally talented, but he also works his, can we say the A word on radio?
Yeah, you could say worked his ass off, sure.
He worked his ass off, Beagle. Give him some credit.
Yeah, you could say that.
He has not quit on his team.
Except for last Saturday in New York. Let's talk about Ron Renneke. How bad of a job is Ron Renneke doing?
I think he's doing a great job, and I'll tell you why. Because, hear me out, Beagle, don't laugh.
I got to hear this. All right.
Ready?
Yes.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Ron Renneke is doing such a bad job that it's good if you want Alex Cora back next year, because you say, hey, look at this mess. Look at just what happened. 1 year. Not even a third of a year. Look at what happened when you put someone else in there. This team needs Alex Cora. So I think he is doing such a bad job that it's great for us if we want Alex Cora back. It's one step in the right direction. And I think, honestly, I would put the percentage of Alex Cora coming back somewhere around like 71%.
71. It's an oddly 71. Specific number, but
yeah.
Is that an informed opinion?
I cannot speak to the Red Sox side of things. I just feel good about it.
Okay, then. That's interesting. I do not want Alex Cora back, but that is an
Why?
Interesting. Because
Why?
I think his violation in Houston.
Happened with another team.
Yeah, it did. It happened with another team, but I still don't think it reflects well on any team that decides to make him their manager, knowing what went on.
Beal, let me tell you something a little bit about my personal life. You know, I've dated women that may have cheated on one of their previous boyfriends, but they didn't cheat on me.
I'm not sure that's the best comparison, because I don't think that reflects poorly on you. For dating that woman,
I judge people for how they treat me.
And I mean, how could they possibly turn down the physique of Jared Karabas? You know,
no, I agree. You're making a lot of good points, but how could Alex Cora possibly turn down a chance to come back and manage a team that he brought to a World Series and won in the winningest season in franchise history?
Let's talk about Andrew Benintendi. Are you concerned that Andrew Benintendi's problems go deeper than maybe just this season? It comes off a down year last year, that Benintendi just may not be developing into the player we thought he would be.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things in play here. Number one, he grew the hair back out. Number two, actually, there's three things in play here. Number three, we'll come back to two. Number three, Brock Holt's gone. And number two, he doesn't have a girlfriend anymore. So these are big things that are very concerning as it pertains to Andrew Benintendi. And I don't think that this is a situation where you're just going to look at Andrew Benintendi and pull the plug on this guy. So help me God, Beal, if this August 31st trade deadline rolls around and you have a situation where they want to pull the plug on him and sell low, no.
Well, it doesn't make sense to sell low.
I don't know if that's your take. Is that your take?
No.
You're going to say trade Benintendi?
No, I wouldn't say that, because you're trading low, and I think the ceiling is higher than what he's been right now.
Do you think that we've seen the best of Andrew Benintendi already?
I fear that. But I don't know that. I hope not, because he's got a lot of ability. And here's the thing, though. Jared, if he bounces back and he has a good, strong finish to the year, I would entertain trading him in the offseason, because I think there's some inconsistency issues there that I would not be afraid to move on. I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to burn you. And I didn't think that a year ago, but I'm starting to think it now.
All right, so you trade Andrew Benintendi and replace him with what? You're going to bring back Kevin Pillar? You're going to re-sign Jackie Bradley Jr.? You got Alex Verdugo, and then what?
You're going into a year in which you're going to have, assuming the year gets to August 31st and the trade deadline, you're going to have all kinds of money to spend. You can address it in the offseason.
You're going to buy a broken down 31-year-old George Springer?
What are you maybe getting back in the trade for Benintendi?
No, I mean, you would probably have to address the building that's on fire, and that would be the rotation. I'm assuming if you trade Benintendi, it's going to be for starting pitching.
Yeah,
no?
But I also wouldn't limit the offseason to one trade. So I think there are a number of ways you could address it.
What other assets do you have going into the offseason, though? Like, Bradley's up after this year. Pilar's up after this year.
I mean, you're telling me you can't find something that's commensurate with what Andrew Benintendi's given this team last year and this year in free agency or in the trade market? I'd hope you could.
I'm just saying, what assets do you have once the season is over that you could use for multiple trades?
We're going to find that out, Jared, is what we're going to find out. I think there's there are a lot of guys that would be on the table that would scare the hell out of me if they moved on. But I think with Heim Bloom, I don't think he's emotionally attached to guys like Benintendi or Devers, which would be horrible. But I think there are guys he'd be willing to move that you and I would not be willing to move.
No. I think I don't know that I have a ton of untouchables on this roster, if we're being honest with each other. I don't know that that person exists besides Bogarts and Devers.
If Bogarts gets traded ever, I'm going to never watch the Red Sox again. I just want to throw that out there. I am out. I am out on the Red Sox if Xander Bogarts gets traded. That's how I feel about Xander Bogarts. That's where
I am. I'm right there with you. And I know that Devers has gotten off to a slow start, but I mean, we saw what he was last year. I don't like the people that are freaking out about Benintendi this year. I don't care, and JD for that matter. I don't care what anyone does this year. I don't. I would not take 2020 statistics and be like, oh yeah, wow. Going into 2021, we really got to look at that. Like, I just, there's no way. Like, it's not normal. It's not routine. It's just not real life. It's not real life numbers. Like, I'm not going to discredit the team that wins the championship, because I still think 16 teams and a regular postseason after that, like, you earned it, whatever. You're going through the tough teams to get there. I'm not going to discredit the actual World Series winner, but like, statistics wise during the regular season,
okay. But even with that, there's no way you're in favor of Ryan Weber going out every 5 days.
Oh, you mean Greg Maddux?
Yeah, Greg Maddux. Who would you replace him with in the near future?
Mitch Moreland.
Right. Seriously, though. Like, right now. Who's in the player pool that you would put in there instead of him?
Legitimately, I would give Brian Johnson another chance.
I think that's the obvious answer, as much as I don't enjoy that experience either. It's got to be better than this.
Brian Johnson has at least been working on things where it's not like, all right, here's a player. He's had big league time. He is what he is. Let's move on. Like, Brian Johnson has been, like, working on, like, a different pitch. He's different now. Like, the last time we saw Brian Johnson at the major league level, that's a different pitcher than what he is now. We kind of know what Ryan Weber is. Like, he just throws 82 miles an
hour. He's a minor leaguer. He doesn't belong in the major leagues. Jared, always great talking to you. Hopefully I could see you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, before I go, are we on the air?
We most certainly are.
All right, cool. Because I was going to say, if we were off the air, I would have told you that I'm working on getting Trevor Bauer here.
Right now?
Yeah.
To what? To talk to him? What are you doing?
No. I'm saying to the Boston Red Sox next season.
Oh, you're working on getting him here, as in Boston?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Trevor Bauer to Boston.
Keep that between me and you, and you can tell Jimmy if you want.
Bauer outage. You know, he and I have...
This is breaking sports news. Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, he and I have tweeted back and forth.
Yeah, he does that.
It's been all positive. I just asked for clarification. He was very kind to respond.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Yeah.
Just got to keep him away from the drones.
For sure. Yeah. No, we're out on drones in 2021.
Good.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's the thing of the past. Jared, great to talk to you, man.
All right, have a great weekend.
Dude. All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Jared Karavas on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Hey, at least Bauer can pitch in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. Hey, thoughts to Terry Francona, by the way. Have you given your thoughts and prayers to Terry Francona? I know a friend of Jay Stu's.
At one point in his life.
Yeah, maybe not recently, but at one point in time, he even changed his cell phone number and made sure to update Jay Stu on it.
And not other people.
He's missed a number of games. He's dealing with a medical issue. So thoughts to him, by the way. Terry Francona, who I think the people in Boston liked very much.
I think they love Tito.
I think they did. And now they have Ron Renicky, who they cannot stand.
All right. Alex Cora, 71% coming back.
That's interesting. I thought there was a little nugget there. A little nugget from Jared. All right. Tonight, Red Sox start up at 7:30 over at Fenway. Late start times this year. Tonight on the Sports Hub, we've got a much more important game and probably far more interesting game, and I can guarantee it's a better radio broadcast than anything else you're going to hear today. That would be Grandy and Max on the call of the Celtics, which is coming up at what time? What time's the pregame?
8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock.
8:30. Who's coming up next here on the Sports Hub?
Sean Silver.
Sean Silver. The Silver Fox is coming your way. He'll be with you up until Celtics pregame tonight here on the Sports Hub. Have a fabulous weekend. Tony Maz will be back with you next week here on the Baseball Reporters. Have a good one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.